This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
Hello, this is Igoro, host of the Igoro Show. And you are listening to the Steve and Crypto Show. So keep your ears open and your mouth shut.
Hey, welcome to the Steve and Crypto Show, presented by thestevestrout.com. I'm Steve.
I'm Crypto Zoo. Happy holidays to you. It's episode 132. We thank you guys for listening and hope you guys are doing well. Hope you're getting ready for Thanksgiving, doing whatever you got to do to get prepared for all of that. And hopefully you guys are listening to our show while you're doing that, while you're roasting your turkey and getting all your sides ready. Also, we hope that you're feeling generous and heading over to Patreon for some more exclusive content. You can go over there and check out some unboxing videos, some board game content. There's some movie spoiler talk. There's an assortment of things that are slightly unrelated to like our podcast stuff, and it's more about like our personal lives. Anyway, go check it out. Patreon.com/SteveCrypto. Also,
and pledge as little as a dollar a month to get access to everything.
That's right. And if you want to buy us a coffee, you can head over to buymecoffee.com/SteveCrypto. Now, that's a metaphorical coffee, but we love it all the same. So head over there, and it's basically a tipping service. You can just give us whatever you like, and it all goes towards the show. So again, Patreon. We already covered that one. buymeacoffee.com/SteveCrypto. My mind's racing right now, trying to go over everything. And of course, if you want some merchandise, or if you're looking for some gifts to buy right now, because it is Black Friday, and I'm sorry we don't have a Black Friday sale going on right now for our merch, but I know that your family would still love to have it, and you'll feel good buying them some merchandise from your third favorite podcast. Head over to Etsy.com/shop/SteveCryptoMerch. Go get yourself a coffee mug, two different t-shirt designs. There's a magnet for your fridge. Also, if you want a trucker hat, you can contact us directly. We still have a couple of them left.
And pins.
And we have pins. If you want some stickers, just go ahead and listen to some of the old episodes and answer some of the trivia. And just send us a message directly and say, hey, I listened to episode 82. And here's the answer for the trivia. And if you got it right, we'll send you a sticker pack.
You know what's weird is what you mentioned Black Friday. Like, when the hell did Black Friday become like a whole 2-week thing? Like, it's been Black Friday for like fucking week and a half now. All these people have sales and shit. Like, why don't you just call it something else? Don't call it Black Friday, because that's specifically the day after Thanksgiving is Black Friday. And like, how you calling last Monday Black Friday?
Yeah, I went into Walmart. I went into Walmart just to get a new knife, like a new box cutter. And I left with a new box cutter and two Monopoly games because it's Black Friday. And I didn't know that the sales started early. And so I ended up talking to one of the clerks there, and they said that they wanted to give Thanksgiving off to all of their employees, which I think is pretty cool. So this is what they decided to do, is to kind of cut down some of the rush over previous years that they've had, you know, and just try to expand it over 2 weeks. And I mean, they're getting more money that way too, I would think. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad strategy.
They could tap into two of your paychecks instead of that one that weekend.
Yeah, and they will.
They don't give a fuck about the employees having a day off. Like, ooh,
yeah,
let's give them a day off.
Well, they get that too, but they're also making bank, and you know, who cares? Yeah. They're closed for one day. They're gonna make up for it.
Well, that's nice of them to do that for their overworked minimum wage, borderline poverty employees.
You know what's also nice? Following us on Facebook and following us on Instagram. So you can go find us at CryptoZoo88, at the Steve Strout. We're also on X a little bit. Steve is on there more than I am. We have a Facebook group that you are welcome to join and welcome to contribute to. Just look up the Steve Crypto Show and you will find us. And tell your friends to join it. We want to see what you guys are working on. We welcome all the spooky projects, horror, pop culture related. As long as it's not political or religious, then we're cool with it.
Yeah. Don't be a jerk.
Yeah.
Don't be a jerk.
That too.
So yeah, this is episode 132. This next couple episodes, this one and next one, we're going to be recapping a few things that, a couple events that we were guests at over the last month, a little over a month, with this one being the Fall Festicon, which took place early October in Kent, Washington. Then the next one, we're going to talk about Grit City Comic Show, which was awesome. You guys kind of got a preview in episode 131 when we talked to Russell Hutchinson. Yeah, that's what's going to be going on the rest of this month and into December, because it's holiday time and we've been kind of holding back and putting this content out to you guys, because you know it's we got to take time for preparing for the holidays, and you got family and stuff that you're doing stuff, and I got my dog to got my dog to hang out with and watch scary movies and shit.
Yep. But we had a couple events that we wanted to at least tell you guys about. These are basically like our last two podcast related parties for the year.
And so, before we dig into Festicon, over the last couple months, we've been kind of hyping a couple companies that really contributed to the show and made the last couple months possible. And we couldn't have done it without Expedition Roasters and Halloween.
Without the caffeine infusion from Expedition Roasters, they kept us going through these last couple events, that's for sure. And we thank them for that. We recommend you guys go check out Expedition Roasters on Instagram. And the reason why I say to go there is because you'll check out the artwork for the bags. Like, we've talked about them in a lot of episodes and, you know, the last couple months, and we've sampled them on the show, but I want you guys to actually go and see the artwork that I've described and that Steve has talked about. So, go to Expedition Roasters, see what they have to offer. I guarantee you're going to find a flavor there that you like, if not more than one. They make great stocking stuffers. You could grab one of those bags and just stuff it down in the stocking. And I think anybody's going to be happy to pull that out. Yeah. Yeah.
Put it in my stocking. Send me
coffee. I recommend the blueberry. I recommend the blueberry coffee. That's a really good one. Dracula's straw bloody shortcake was good.
Yeah.
They have so many. Like, you're going to be happy that you went and checked them out.
Definitely wasn't one that I did not like.
Yeah.
Where's the website and what's that discount code?
All right. So head over to expeditionroasters.com and use the code SteveCrypto. We're going to give you a little discount at checkout.
Do it. And then yeah. I mentioned the shirt company.
Of course. You can head over to Halloween Shirt Company and see what they have to offer. Again, a great gift for the holiday season, even though it's more on the Halloween side and not so much Christmas. I mean, if you are a horror fan, you celebrate all year long in your heart. So I think you'd be happy to get a spooky shirt even during the holiday season. But as Steve said, they have some themed shirts there. They have what I like to call kind of a vintage style, very classic, like a lot of like bats and ghosts and cats and things like that. The designs really pop out. They're really good. So just go check out Halloween Shirt Company. And again, go to Instagram and see what they have there. Check out their website as well. But I mean, you're going to find something that you like. You'll probably find something for a friend as well.
And pretty sure they do discounts to like first time buyers. So when you go to HalloweenShirtCompany.com, you get a deal on that.
I believe so.
And we also mentioned at the top of the episode, well, we played the promo at the top of the episode from the Deluxe Edition Network, which we are a part of. It is a collective of over 20 podcasts, independent podcasts that are all there to promote each other and hype each other and grow our shows together. It's a big variety of content over there, all kinds of different genres of discussion, sports, news, comedy, horror like us, general discussion, just all kinds of stuff. You could probably find a show, whatever you're interested in, you could probably find a show there. Of course, we're there. The Stephen Crypto Show is there alongside November's podcast of the month. This month, it's Baird Laws and Take on the World podcast. So check out deluxeeditionnetwork.com. And you never know who will be the podcast of the month next year. So I have to wait and see next month, not next year.
Yeah.
Be the podcast in a month next year, by next month. So yeah, go to Deluxe Edition Network, follow the Deluxe Edition Network on Instagram. There's a group on Facebook to join. Do it up, support some great shows, keep supporting us. We appreciate it and we love you guys.
Yeah. Follow them online and stay up to date on what they got going on and all the shows that are coming out. I need to check out the pods of the month. I haven't listened to them yet. I have checked out our friends at Barstool Film School's Godzilla versus Kong episode, which you would probably like.
Yeah, so, I haven't gotten into anybody it. That's had a chance. I'm way behind on my podcast listening and book listening and reading. It's been a tumultuous last couple of weeks. Like I fell behind. Like I've been kind of fucking radio silent on social media, basically. Even like it's there's shit going on. Maybe some point we'll talk about it. Not ready to talk too much about it publicly now.
Yeah,
but we'll get to that. Let's talk about some fun shit. Let's talk about the fucking good time we had at Fall Festicon. The date I think was October 7th, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, October was pretty busy for us.
Yeah, and yeah, we did kind of recap other stuff we did in October here locally, but we did the Fall Festicon, which was it's run by a shop called Page Turner Books. They have a bookstore that has a ton of collectibles and stuff, and they also have a comic book shop. And we were set up a booth in their comic book shop, which was really cool. They had a good steady stream of people. They stuck us in there with some really cool artists and creators. It was good, man. I think we got a lot of interest from people at that event. We got to chat with some really good writers and creative folks, which we will share in this episode. But let's talk about FestCon. What were some of your, what did you dig about it?
I liked that it seemed like more people were there compared to the year before. So it was cool to see that, you know, from what I could tell, maybe word had gotten around about it being a good time, or at least the people that came the first year, maybe it brought some friends out or whatever. It was well attended. So that was nice. And people seem to be having fun. We've said it here before, but I can't help but add it to the list. Just talking to people that we've never met that find out what we're doing there, and in a very excited tone, they say, "I love podcasts," or, "Oh, I love horror." It's such a good feeling. Like, yeah, we're just not used to hearing that in our town. And it's a very rare occasion around here. So when we travel out of town and we connect with other people that are into what we're into on that kind of level, it's really nice. Right away, it's like, oh, great. Then we have some things to talk about. You know, if you know that somebody's into horror, kind of as much as you are, that immediately just opens up the floodgates, you know? So you're like, well, what's your favorite horror flick, or what do you, you know, what have you been watching lately? It just, it's great. It's a great icebreaker.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those specific things. And then just seeing old friends, and, you know, it's always cool to go out to Kent and see Greg Smith and check out the Retro Emporium. Shout out to them. I love that store. Man, love that and you guy. Can't, yeah, you can't leave that place without buying something. I dare you. Mm-hmm. I dare anybody. Go out to Kent, down to Meeker Street, check out the Retro Emporium, and try to leave that store without something in your hand.
Did you get anything?
You can't do it.
Anything there this time?
I did. I got, I think I got like some magnets or something. I think I got some candy for the boys. Something, I think, Hocus Pocus related, because they had a bunch of Hocus Pocus stuff like in the front display little room there. Yeah. Every time I've gone there, I've ended up buying something. And I know if I take the kids, which I want to, I'm going to end up buying more stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're kind of bummed at the time, you know, how much you're forking out, but you're like, I did this to myself. Like, I wanted to bring them here.
I don't know. You should have known. Yep.
Yeah.
No, I grabbed some cool stuff from there. I grabbed a few different packs of trading cards. They have like a selection of like older, you know, retro trading cards. I think I got
all the Tabs.
Fail Kids. I got I don't even remember what the heck I got. They have a lot of stuff, man. They got old, like, wrestling cards. There's, like, some sports cards. There's, like old Batman shows and all the old TV shows that put out trading cards. And I do remember the Garbage Pail Kids one. I probably should have dug out the stuff I got when we went, but I did that. I went, actually, from the comic shop where we were set up, found a really cool old sci-fi magazine that had the creature from the Black Lagoon on the cover. So I wasn't really familiar with that magazine, but the cover was fucking awesome. Had the creature, so I had to get it. It was like staring at me for a while when we were sitting at our table, because there was like a whole big magazine display in there where we were.
Yeah, that whole wall. Like,
taunting me, like, buy me. Like, so I bought it. Like, we were so busy chatting with people and stuff, like, didn't really have much time to shop much.
No.
You know, which is good. That's the whole point. Like, we want to chat with people. And I think that's what my favorite part of doing things like this is, that, like, the community, like, building a community around this, what we do, just being nerdy about stuff. And
yeah.
And it brings all these people out to meet each other that, you know, didn't know, like, oh, I didn't realize there's this many people that shared the same interest here in my town, yeah, you know, or in this area. Yeah. It brings everybody together. And at the same time, it's like good advertisement for, you know, other artists and writers that were there, for us, of course, which is our main reason for going out and taking our time to do stuff like this. And of course, these venues, these shops, like you mentioned, the Retro Emporium, Page Turner Books. I can't recall the name of, there's a bakery across the street.
I'm looking it up right now. I'm really doing it right now.
They put out really cool themed, like, cookies and stuff. That's awesome.
I'm looking them up right now.
He's looking them up right now. There's a, you know, a tattoo shop down the road that does like a flash sale for these events. And it's just a good thing. It, like, builds like a whole community. And it brings people out and says, hey, look, there's fun stuff to do that's not going to cost you a ton of money. You don't have to pay hundreds of dollars for tickets to go to a big Comic-Con when we have this kind of stuff right here in our backyard. Just come, have fun, meet people, buy stuff. Don't buy stuff. Just come and hang out.
Yeah. I want to start by saying, if anybody from this bakery is listening right now, I apologize that it took us a minute to get the name, because we've been doing a lot of events and had a lot of things going on in our lives. Right. So but you know, we're also recording this like a month and a half later. So, Sweet Themes Bakery on Meeker Street in Kent. I suggest anybody that's in Washington or close by, at least go check out Sweet Themes Bakery. They had a lot of good stuff. Like everything in there looked pretty good. They had a little cookie that looked like a poop emoji, and I had to get that for the boys. And they had like eyeballs that were filled with peanut butter and all kinds of little spooky looking cookies and desserts and things. And so
the last year when we did
and great people
the
too
party,
great staff,
also nice in there. They make good coffee and everything. Last year when we did the nerd party thing, they had like little like UFO cookies and like kind of more nerdy theme. It's just cool, and they stick with a theme, and they even designed like a little fancy edible logo thing.
Yeah,
on, like cupcakes and
They took the FestiCon logo and they put it on top.
I think it was edible. I know I ate some. I didn't pass any stickers or anything, but
yeah.
But yeah, it's a cool, it's just that whole little area, that whole neighborhood is cool. It's like when they have more events, they're having another nerd party next spring, I think. But when they do that stuff, you guys, if you're in the Northwest, even if it's a few hour trip, take the trip. It's a fun day. You can bring the whole family. There's plenty to do down there. There's a few restaurants. Like you said, there's the bakery. There is the bookstore, which is packed wall to wall, floor to ceiling with books and a ton of collectibles. There's a comic shop, which is one of the few comic shops I've gone in a while that actually have lots of boxes, long boxes full of comics to search through. You can spend hours in there. Like we brought James with us, and he spent almost the whole event going through comics.
That's how you find the good ones.
And he found a bunch to add to his collection. He's putting together runs of certain series, and he found quite a few for us. So that's
you could entertain yourself for the whole day in Kent with a variety of things, but like just on Meeker Street alone, there's enough to do. You know, like you were saying, go to the comic book shop, you know, check out some books, go get a tattoo. There's a Mexican restaurant, there's the bakery, like there's a variety of things down there.
Yeah, and then now they got that little park outside the building too. They turned out park, and they're into like a little park, and it's a nice little chill spot to take the kids out to unwind for a few minutes, or you could go make one of the events a date day and go over to the All Aglow Spa and, you know, get facials and then go buy some comics. Like,
There's a bar down there. Go have a beer.
Time. Yeah. There's everything. Everything. It's a cool little area. Once it got darker, it got a little weird. Like the weirder folks come out, which happens everywhere.
Yeah. The freaks came out at night.
Yeah. Yeah. Not us. Besides us, the other freaks.
Yeah.
Extra weirdos.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, overall, it was a really cool show. I really want to get back for the next one, because I feel like events like this does more for us, you know, and our growth. And I feel like every time we've done their show, our numbers have gone up even just a little bit, but it still helps. And we meet new people. You know, I've made a couple friends there that I've been chatting with since, and it's cool. Like the Wayne, who owns Page Turner Books, he has Kayla, who is like the point person, who's like his right hand, who helps run all this stuff, and they bust their butts to make this shit like as cool as it is, as cool as it can be. And I think they're going to keep growing it, and it's just going to get better.
Yeah. They did a great job just kind of making the rounds and checking in on everybody, making sure everybody was doing good. Yeah.
They always constantly were making sure everybody was okay, anybody need anything. It's that went a long way, because like we've done other things when it's just like, you know, like the one we did in town, they just kind of like, we didn't know where we were supposed to be. And then it's like, okay, we're plopped over here against the wall and like nobody came up and said, "You guys good? You guys set?" You know what I mean? That.
I mean, it still turned out all right.
It did. It was
but there funny. there was a lot of chaos in there. I think a lot of people just with their little kids and
yeah,
trying to keep an eye on them. You know,
I think they created an awesome event here in town, but I think they weren't ready for how big it became.
Yeah.
And they were a little overwhelmed, but hopefully they have a better grasp next year. And definitely if they want to invite us, I'm definitely down. Same with Festicon and Nerd Party. Like if they want us there, there's a 99% chance we'll be there.
Yep.
Before we started chatting about our thoughts on it, we mentioned that we actually spoke with a few guests at Festicon, a handful of writers, a few that are members of the Howl Society, which is like a writing group. I'm not sure, were they a publisher or were they just like a group of horror authors
that just were
doing it and hyping
more
each
of a
other?
Group. Yeah.
Kind of like what we
kind of support each other.
It's kind of like the Deluxe Edition Network, but for horror writers in the PNW.
Yeah.
We
met book
a
writing
few,
gang.
A gang, yeah. How do you think you get initiated into the horror writer gang? Do they like jump you in or they just do they
I don't know.
Tell a story or they beat you up or I don't know. Anyways, we talked to JW, Bridget D. Brave, Solomon Force, Will McDermott, good area writers that have done some really cool shit. So let's just get to those chats. We took a few minutes with each one and got to learn a little bit about them and what they're working on. So you guys meet these great indie authors and support them. And we will be back to say goodbye.
Hi, I'm Doug Jones, the tall, skinny, goofy actor who plays lots of monsters and creatures on film and in TV. But today, I want you to know that you are listening to the best podcast on the air, and that would be the Steve and Crypto Show.
Hey, we are here live at Fall Festicon with the Steve and Crypto Show, and we have a guest with Solomon Force here to tell us a little bit about what he's been working on.
Hello, everyone listening to the Steve and Crypto Show podcast. My name's Solomon Force. Very happy to be here. I'm at Fall Festicon 2023 representing Howl Society Press over at Page Turner Books. We are first and foremost actually a horror community. We started on Discord back in 2020 when everyone was trapped in their houses and bored and needing social interaction. And so we created a very structured book club where we could have that interaction focused on our favorite horror reads that has since blown up into quite an organization. We have hundreds of members now. The book club side of our community really offers readers a chance to join a supportive community where they can enjoy books alongside other horror lovers and engage in in-depth, meaningful discussions and form some long-lasting friendships. Aside from this side of Howl Society, a lot of our readers have turned into writers. We have a full-on writing workshop that we do annually in which we produce a horror anthology that will ultimately be published, and we also run a mentor system. So if you are listening and you are a brand new writer and you've thought about writing horror, you should go to howlsociety.com. Some of our books we've put out were Howls from Hell, Howls from the Dark Ages, which is an anthology themed on medieval horror. We do vote on which theme we'd like to do each year. And we recently released Howls from the Wreckage, an anthology of disaster horror. So if this sounds like your kind of thing, hop on howlsociety.com. You'll find an invite to our Discord, and then you can hop in the welcome channel and say hi. Once again, this is Solomon Force from Howl Society, and thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the show.
That's awesome. I like that you guys have the whole community thing, as you mentioned, and just giving people a place, you know, because you might be working on a project, but you're like, I don't know how to get this out there. I don't know where to begin, you know, other than like making the thing. Cause then, you know, you can make something, but then like it's getting it out to the right people in the right hands is the next step. So it's cool that you guys kind of give people that chance, that opportunity.
Absolutely. It's incredible how many of our writers just showed up on the Discord, say, hey, I'm thinking about writing some horror stories. And then now, 1, 2, 3 years later, they've just signed their first novel deal with a publisher. So some of these people have been on incredible journeys from just, you know, amateur, just thinking about it's my first time, to now this is what they do. It's so cool.
It's really neat. Yeah, we've said it a million times on the show, but just like the horror community is unlike any other. Like, well, there really aren't too many communities in film. Like, there's no drama community, you know what I mean? But like, horror fans are so, so passionate, and most of us just enjoy seeing that. Like, we're, you know, we're kind of nerdy about it sometimes, but it's great, and it's nice to be passionate about things.
Absolutely. I love going to horror conventions, and it's just an instant connection. Like, you might have never seen somebody before, but you start talking about, you know, like The Thing or Alien, and suddenly, you know, like 15 minutes later, you're best friends. Yeah. It's so cool.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen a few examples of that coming through here today. Just, you know, some girl came by with a Scream backpack earlier, and I had to compliment that. And then, you know, somebody came by dressed up like Art the Clown just a little bit ago and had to take a picture of that. It's just, it strikes up conversation. We probably wouldn't talk if you didn't show up in that costume.
Oh yeah. I've been commenting on all of the horror shirts as they walk in. My favorite one so far is The Walking Dead, and it's just a bunch of Christopher Walken zombies on a shirt. I would love to hear, like, you know, 100 of those accents at once. Undead.
my tattoo shop that I go to out in Port Angeles, they have Christopher's face on the door, and it says "Walk-ins welcome."
That's fantastic. I love
it. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for popping by and letting everybody know what you got going on. And that was Howl Society.
That's right. Howl, like a wolf howl, society.com.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Solomon.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Butch Patrick, and you're listening to the Steve and Crypto Show.
Hey, we are back on the Steve and Crypto Show. We are hanging out at Fall FestiCon here in Kent, Washington, and we're here with our friend Bridget to let you guys know what she's been working on.
Oh, I've been working, and it's hot.
Yeah?
So I've only been writing horror for about 2 years now.
Okay.
And Solomon Force, who was over here earlier, he published my first short story. And I told him that if he accepted it, that I would be an unstoppable monster. I kind of have been ever since.
Awesome.
Now I'm on my 8th publication.
Wow. In 2 years? That's great.
And I'm starting to move more into the novella format.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. All right. So what is your, like, favorite style of writing, like, favorite story style?
Yeah. Love weird and bizarre.
Okay.
It's just wonderful.
Let's dip into that more.
I don't know if you're familiar with Carlton Mellick III.
Not so much, no.
Probably one of my favorite bizarro authors. He wrote such hits as The Haunted Vagina.
Okay.
And every time we go to Dairy Queen, your entire fucking face explodes.
Wow, I love that title.
He's got some great, great work out there.
I don't know if I want to go to Dairy Queen anymore. Wow.
Big fan of, like, Danger Slater is another great bizarro writer.
Okay, that's cool. What is something that inspires you to write the way that you do?
Trauma, mostly. Yeah, you know, okay. I always joke that I'm working my way through my high school trauma by writing scary stories, but I think that my main thing is just being in a situation and being like, you will be really messed up right now, and then that's where my ideas come.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So after getting that out, you go back and read it, and does it help you after reading it just to kind of, like, there's some closure, I got that out of me?
So I turned 46 on Wednesday.
Okay.
I was afraid of the dark until I published my first horror story.
Well, happy birthday and congrats on getting through that. That's cool. Yeah. What's your favorite thing about horror?
I think that how much heart is it.
Yeah.
One of the things that people really don't realize is that there's a lot of heavy emotion in horror. And the other horror authors that I've met are some of the, like, nicest, most empathetic people you will ever meet.
It's
just wonderful.
Yep. They get it out on the page. I think that's it. Just was talking about that earlier, but just the passion behind the genre and how much we all love it. And you don't really find that as much in other genres. Like, sure, you like things and like action movies or whatever, But are you going to like conventions for those genres?
When I think about horror, I think that it's one of the only genres that's written by fans.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Just the inspiration continues, you know, and just seeing how much horror has evolved over time and how much more accepting it is now. Is there something down the pipeline that you have that you're working on that you can talk about?
Right now, working on a novella follow-up to one of my short stories. The short story is called The Harvest Queen, and I took my main character from that story, and this is her senior year in high school.
Oh, cool.
Thought Sinful High could eat me.
Okay.
And then I'm also working on my first novel about people living in the slums of Miami Beach after climate change has ravaged the coastline. It's called Dolphin Hunt.
Oh, wow. That's cool. You're kind of jumping around a little bit. I like that.
Get some stuff done.
That's cool. And it sounds like you're kind of, well, you could kind of make a little universe when you're taking that character and putting her in senior year and all that. That's kind of cool. I like the idea of just taking a character from this thing and putting them over here and extending the story further. And yeah, that's very cool. So do you have any fun plans for Halloween or anything?
So I just bought my first house.
Oh, wow.
It's a spooky Victorian, and I bought it in the Halloween neighborhood where I live.
Okay.
We're excited to get it. I'm starting to deck it out now.
That's cool. Do you expect a lot of trick-or-treaters? Have you talked to neighbors about that?
Live in when you're to this neighborhood.
Oh, wow.
We are a big deal.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, I don't get any trick-or-treaters at my house. We live on a dead-end street, and it's just no action. Like, there's really no street lights on our road either, so it's just not the most inviting.
It's time to add a creepy clown out there somehow.
Yeah. I've been wanting to get that Mars Attacks animatronic that Spirit has this year. I really want that out on my front porch.
One of the, he was at Home Depot, the giant scarecrow.
Yeah. Your house sounds like it's going to be creepy enough as it is. Do you have a favorite decoration already in your collection that you want to put out?
The chicken wire ghost women from my front yard.
Oh, okay.
I saw them online and just spray painting them glow in the dark and hopefully not terrifying for the world of this process.
But, you know, if you do, I mean, she's got to learn. Yeah, she's going to, like, that's going to be her gateway into the genre. We all got scared by something, and then eventually we're going to learn to love it. What's your earliest memory with horror?
So I was raised by my very young parents who had no idea what they were doing. I loved them both dearly, but they had no idea what they were doing. And they used to let me watch whatever they were watching.
Ooh.
So The Exorcist was one of the first movies I remember, and Alien.
Okay. Those are both pretty freaky. The more I go back and watch Alien, the more I think, like, how good is it for its time? You know, like, you go back and look, oh, that was made in 79. Like, well, and look at that. You watch those at an early age, and maybe your parents might have made a mistake, but it's inspiration at the same time.
Yeah, all those people listening at home.
Yeah.
They freak out your kids, mess them up.
There you go. They might become creative people someday. Well, Bridget, is there anything else you'd like to let people know about?
So, in addition to writing horror, I actually am on a podcast.
Really?
We playtest indie TTRPG.
Oh, cool.
It's called Wondering Monster.
Wondering Monster.
It's on Twitch and all podcasting streaming platforms.
Awesome. Okay. Will do. Well, thank you, Bridget. Appreciate your time.
Hello, friends. This is Dirk Manning, the writer and creator of comic book series such as Twisted Haunted High On, Tales of Mystery, Nightmare World, Buried But Not Dead, Butts and Seats of Tony Schiavone's Story, Hope, and a ton of other stuff. And I just want to let you all know that I am super excited for you, because right now you have the distinct pleasure and honor of listening to the Stephen Crypto Show. So I'm going to get out of here so you can listen to the show and have fun, because this is just some of the best podcast discussion you're going to hear on the internet. So go listen, enjoy.
Hello, we are on site here at Fall FestiCon for the Stephen Crypto Show. We're hanging out with horror cosplay contests players. We have tarot readers, there's flash tattoos, authors, artists, and special guests, podcasters. Today, we are here with JW, and I wanted to just give him a little bit of time to let you guys know what he's been working on.
Well, I mostly write horror and weird fiction. A lot of it's set up here in the Pacific Northwest. I'm in a lot of different anthologies, with specifically the House Society. Been a lot of fun doing those. And I've got a recent one done with some friends called Now That's What I Call Horror, anthology of a 90s nostalgia. So definitely check that as well. And yeah, I'm always working on new stories and trying to sell them.
Okay. Well, I was born in 88, but I'm a 90s baby. So tell us more about that project, the 90s nostalgia.
It's pretty much just a bunch of friends. Every year as a group, we decide on a few different anthology themes to do. And this year, one of them was, let's do a 90s theme. And we voted on it. And I think almost every one of us grew up in the mid to late 90s. And there aren't a lot of anthologies out there yet that focus on horror. I mean, there's DHS, I think, recently had.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say there's anything like that. One of the best stories in there is actually a Pacific Northwest writer as well, Matthew Lind from Burlington. It's called Choking Hazard. That's about a bunch of possessed toys, and it reminded me a lot of like a horror take on Arnold Schwarzenegger's movie, Jingle All the Way.
Okay.
Involving Tickle Me Elmos and Cabbage Patch Dolls. Awesome, awesome story. Mine specifically, it reminded me of life as a band kid in the late 90s.
Yeah.
Something horrible happens to a bunch of band kids on a band bus on the way back from a football game.
Okay.
That was my life.
That's cool. What, you're a band kid, what did you play?
I played trumpet back then.
So what would you say is a big inspirational thing in pop culture and horror specifically for you? Like, what's something that you draw from?
This recent boom in, it's becoming mainstream. Wouldn't be considered mainstream horror, but now is becoming mainstream. Specifically, A24 film.
Mm-hmm.
Their approach to taking on horror films has been huge. Hereditary, Midsommar, Bodies. Not my thing, but I appreciate what it's doing and how it's showing the range of horror, even in the film arena. It reflects the writing genre as well, because it's drawing these people that are enjoying these movies. They're coming to the books and realize, like, oh, there's more than Stephen King.
Yeah, it's nice for people on the outside, maybe if they're like, okay, I don't want something that's like a slasher that's just full on in your face, but I don't want something that's too quiet and boring and drawn out. They need something in the middle, you know, some medium ground. And that's where some of those type of things come in. I also like that the A24 projects that you mentioned, they kind of open the doors for other creative folks that are trying to be a little bit more different and abstract within horror. So it's nice for people that enjoy that, and that it kind of gives you a little bit of hope. They're like, okay, well, if A24 is doing it and they're successful, then maybe I got a shot.
I mean, and a lot of their movies are just so out there, and they do things that no one would in regular media would dare.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you can do that? Sell me, get away with it?
I think the first A24 movie I ever watched was Tusk, and I saw that in the theater. Yeah, just trying to give old Kevin a little bit of my money. And, yeah, that was wild. And now they're working on a Friday the 13th series, I believe, or a series or a film. No, it's a series. Yeah,
I don't care for slashers, but if they're doing it, I'll give it a go.
I mean, it's a weird combination. It at least makes me intrigued, you know, when you think of like A24 taking on a property like that.
It's insane. I mean, they were the first ones to, you know, sign the deal with the writers.
Yeah,
I will see every film they bring out happily. Even if I don't like it, I'm still on board.
Yeah, it's cool just to see the genre opening up more and more as years go on and kind of becoming more accessible. It's cool how, like, it used to be the black sheep of cinema for the longest time.
Them and Jordan Peele with Get Out and Nope and
Us.
That was my favorite. I didn't care for Nope, but everybody likes his.
Yeah.
The Us was amazing. I think initially he didn't want to call it. He kind of shied away from it, but now he's all on board with it because he's realizing there is an audience that wants it.
Yeah, that's the nice thing, is like now it's becoming more of like a mainstream thing than ever. And it's just nice to see it accepted a little bit more all around.
We're not scary in person.
Yeah,
and all on the page.
My mom even used to surprise me from time to time when I'd say like, oh, I'm going to watch Saw 4 or whatever. She's like, I'll watch that. Like, you will? Okay. So I think there's more and more people like that are turning up. They're like, you know what? I'll give that a shot. Texas Chainsaw 2. Okay. Yeah. Sign me up.
I've always heard that Jack Ketchum, the guy who wrote The Girl Next Door, is the kindest man you'll ever meet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one cool thing about horror fans is a lot of them are really, really nice people. And yeah, all you have to do is say, like, I also like Night of the Living Dead. And they're like, what? Yeah, we're just excited to talk with people who like the same things that we do. Yeah. And I was excited to talk to you about your project. And do you have anything else down the pipeline or any fun plans for Halloween or anything coming up?
TTRPG stuff, you know, home or out of the table for some friends. I'm excited about a game I'm running next week in an indie game called Dread.
Okay. It
uses Jenga as its game mechanic. So that's exciting. That's all the Halloween plans. So other than that, I've got a story and will be coming out that I can't say yet strong yet. I got the news on that this morning.
Okay.
Super stoked to wake up to a happy email.
That's awesome.
Other than that, I've been pursuing our publishing services where I help people make their books sell.
Okay.
Good book cover designs, making the inside look professional, and consulting author websites and uploading to indie.
Well, that's nice of you to be helping others with their projects and giving them a chance. And
it's daunting once you get in there. So it's nice to be able to hold folks' hands, get them across the finish line, to give them every best chance they have, because the indie self-publishing market space is flooded. So you really have to put in the legwork to make sure your stuff stands out.
Yeah.
And that it doesn't give people a sour taste, because there's so much stuff out there that I've read, even from Big Five publishers, that have horrible typos all over their books. And then horrible covers, too. I've seen so many indie presses put out books that I'm not going to name anybody, but the covers could use a little something, something.
Yeah, and that's all it takes sometimes, just that little extra touch to it and to make it stand out more. And yeah, like you're saying, there's so much content out there. So people come into places like this where we are now and they're like, okay, there's so much stuff. What am I going to give my time? What am I going to give my money? So everybody.
Compete in the overworked computers for the same media.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like we're staring at a whole bunch of magazines right now that a lot of folks would not care to even touch these days, which is sad. But, you know, when we were growing up, this was a big part of our lives, I'd say. I mean, you know, we're looking at Mad magazines and heavy metal and all this stuff that kind of helped make us into what we are.
I remember growing up Saturday mornings, back when Sci-Fi Channel used to play Saturday morning anime movies. They played heavy metal, Akira.
Yeah. We grew up in a special time. Things are, I think everybody says that, but, you know, it's not what they used to be. Yeah, but at least we had cool stuff to read growing up. And we do now, too. So want to thank you for coming by for a little bit and telling everybody what you got working on. And we will hopefully be able to chat again down the road when you can spill the beans about that project. Let us know. Once that email is something you could talk about, maybe you can come back and circle around and tell everybody what it is. Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Greetings. It is I, Lilith von Bloodworth from Mondo Creepy. You're listening to the Steve and Crypto Show.
Hey, Steve and Crypto listeners. We are at the Fall Festicon in Kent, Washington, and I am visited by an author named Will McDermott. He's been writing some Kolchak Night Stalker books. So I'm going to have him jump in, introduce himself, and tell you about these books and some of the other stuff he's done. So, Will.
Hi, thanks a lot. My name is Will McDermott. I've been writing fiction for about 20, 25 years now. I've been in the game industry about that long, worked at Wizards of the Coast, worked for Nintendo for a while, and I write fiction that a lot of it is for games, but in the last few years, I've got a chance to start writing for Kolchak, the Night Stalker, which is just a hell of a lot of fun to write for. If you don't know Kolchak, he broke into the scene in the early 70s with a couple of TV movies and a short-lived series that was kind of the inspiration for the X-Files later on. He's a reporter, and he always gets involved in supernatural happenings, vampires and the such. So I've written two novels now. First one was Strangled by Death, where he's following a serial killer who's actually not just a serial killer. There's a supernatural element to it, but I won't go into too much detail. And then my most recent is called Hotel of Horror, and it takes place in the Hotel Cecil, which is a famous hotel in Los Angeles that is known for lots of deaths and suicides and a couple of different serial killers who lived there while they were doing their killings. Actual place. And Kolchak gets called in to go see the reopening of the Hotel Cecil, which is happening on Halloween weekend. And that's just a very bad idea because, of course, there is something spectral inside the place that has been causing all of these deaths for all these years. And he's got to figure out what's going on before it's too late.
So the Kolchak story is basically kind of pretty much summed it up. There's kind of supernatural and horror vibes there.
Right.
Were you a horror fan?
You know, the funny thing is I grew up, you know, originally huge mystery fan. And so writing these is a lot of fun for me because I never really got a chance to write mysteries until now. But after I kind of left my mystery phase, I was huge into fantasy and science fiction. And that's where I always thought I was going to be writing. And really until recently, that's where I was writing. Just in the last few years, I've really started into horror with Kolchak, but also with some short stories in anthologies. There's a series of anthologies called the Castle of Horror, and I've been in three or four of those recently.
Okay. Where can people find the series, the
Kolchak? Yeah, so the Kolchak is published by Moonstone Books, and they're only available through their website. I believe it's just Moonstone.
It's like moonstonebooks.com.
Moonstonebooks.com. So if you go there, you'd be able to find both of my Kolchak novels. I've got a short story, Kolchak short story as well, that also came out this year. And that's in an anthology called Triple Threat. It came out in March.
Okay.
They do one, I think, every couple of months. And this was the Triple Threat that came out in March of 2023 has a story by me as well.
Okay, so besides the Kolchak stuff, what's some other things you've worked on?
Lately, in the last few years, I've been working in games again, but this time in board games. I have been working in video games for a number of years. I worked on Guild Wars, Guild Wars 2, Terra, ZMR. But the last few years, I've been working for a board game company in Seattle called Funko Games. They used to be Forrest Prusan, but then Funko bought them. And so I write content for them. This year, when they just came out with the 25th anniversary of Cranium, and I wrote a ton of content for that game. I also wrote probably like 80% of the trivia in an ESPN trivia game that they put out a couple of years ago. Okay. I've been writing content for them off and on contract for the last 5 years or so.
Right. How different is the process of writing for a game versus novels and stuff?
Oh, it is very different, really. Yeah. Games, especially board games, especially, you know, board games that have narrative. And I've done that as well as like the trivia, but you're writing short bits, you know, because the game's got to keep moving, and so you can't really slow down to have you know, a long narrative. It's got to be it's 50 word, 100 word, 200 word chunks of story. I actually did the first thing I did for Funko Games was a choose your own adventure board game, and I wrote there were. 200-400 cards that had stories on them, and then you would have either choices or you would roll some dice, and that would determine where you go for the next bit of story. And it was all branching, and that was a blast to write.
It sounded like it would be fun, but at the same time it'd be difficult to come up with a scenario and then this other scenario, but you got to make them so they can work together,
right,
with the dynamics of the game,
right?
So that's,
yeah. Yeah, the branching storyline is kind of fun. I'm actually doing some more branching storyline stuff for them now that will come out next year. Totally different type of game, but yeah, a lot of fun. And it's a neat challenge to write short. Right. You know, when you're writing a novel, you can spend a lot of time on description and go down some paths and see if things work and then bring them back. And yeah, and sometimes you throw away some stuff and rewrite. But when you're writing for games, you got to be real concise, and it's an interesting challenge.
I feel like there's probably more of like a guideline you have to stick to.
Yes.
And then if it's for a popular property, then you got to abide by their stuff.
And exactly. Yeah. And most of my career, I've been writing for people, writing in other people's IPs. I wrote, some Magic the Gathering. I've written for Warhammer 40K. And so, yeah, you're always having to make sure that you're not changing too much, but, kind of injecting some of, yourself into it so that it's, you have fun writing the story.
Cool. Well, hey, thank you for taking a few minutes. Where can people find you online? Do you have a website or anything?
Yeah. It's just real simple. It's just willmcdermott.com, willmcdermott.com.
Awesome, Will. Thank you. And I can't wait to dig into the Kolchak book.
All right. Yeah, enjoy it. Thanks a lot.
I'm Mr. Lobo of Cinema Insomnia, and you're listening to the Steve and Crypto Show. Or are you?
All right, we are back. Thank you again, Wayne, Kayla, and the rest of the team at Page Turner. Thanks to all the people who popped in to say hi and tell us about their stuff. Like, that's the whole point of our podcast. As the whole point of the Fall Festicon was to allow these people to promote themselves, to allow us to promote ourselves, which I think overall is a successful event.
Yeah, we had a great time. Yeah, we had a great time. We thank Page Turner Books for inviting us there, and it was really nice connecting with people that are all into kind of the darker side of pop culture. As it was kind of a celebration of some like macabre items, I guess you could say. They had like some darker themed stuff, but I mean, it wasn't all that way.
Yeah.
So
well, this particular,
it was a really good time.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, I think, it's a good point to wrap this episode. Before we do that, I want to, mention people. There's a YouTube channel called the Mad Bloods, which we will post links to either this episode or the next one. They invited CryptoZoo and I on to basically interview us and hear a little bit about us and what we're into. So I'm not sure when that episode's coming out, but I will make sure when we know, you guys will know. Because it was a fun chat. I had a great time chatting with those guys.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really fun. Hopefully we'll get to do it again. So, but yeah, so, yeah, we'll definitely have the links for you guys to check it out.
You know where to find the links. You know where to keep up on this info, social media, CryptoZoo88, the Steve Strout, X, Instagram. We'll post there when we know when this is coming out. Of course, we post there everything. We post all kinds of shit there. So go there, follow us, go to Facebook, join that Facebook group, Steven Crypto Show Podcast.
That's right. And go get that merch for your favorite podcast. You know, we want to get our shirts, our magnets, our coffee mugs, all at Etsy.com/Steven Crypto Merch.
And of course, Patreon. Patreon.com/Steve Crypto. For the little as a buck a month, you'll get access to all the things. Then there's the Buy Me a Coffee, buymeacoffee.com/Steve Crypto. Leave us a tip. Goes back into the show. It improves everything about the show.
And if you like what you've been hearing so far, please leave a review wherever you're streaming, Spotify, Apple Pods. Most of them will let you leave a review. There might be one or two that don't, but most of them do. So if possible, leave a review, and that really helps us stand out a little bit more in the podcast algorithm.
Yeah, and go to Good Pods. Follow us on Good Pods. Comment, like our episodes. keep us moving up those rankings. We've been regularly hanging out in the top 10 in the entertainment podcast, but we want to be in the top 10 in all the podcasts. So get your butts over there. Good pods. Get on the app. Like, comment, share, all that stuff. Just help us up the rankings.
Do it for my kids, okay? Do it for them. That's all they want for Christmas. Now, if you ask them, they're not going to want to tell you that straight up. They just, you know, they're trying to be humble about it. But I'll tell you myself.
When I was over at your place the other day, I kind of snuck and looked at their letters to Santa. And the top thing on each of their lists was how Daddy and Uncle Steve's podcast move up to number one on Good Pods. And for some reason, one of them, the little one, was like, don't be a bitch and fucking leave them a review. Don't leave their ass a review. I'm going to find you and fuck you up. Like, I don't know where he learned to talk like that. He must be listening to us on this podcast, but I just completely made that up. And
they're not worried about their two front teeth. They're more worried about you guys buying merchandise from Etsy. Yeah. So that's really all that they want is for you guys to treat yourselves. You've
all
been,
I for Christmas. I mean, all I want for Christmas not, is my two t-shirt designs.
There you go.
Yeah.
Even if you've been naughty, we don't care. That's fine. We don't judge you here. Naughty or nice, you deserve a shirt this year.
We prefer naughty.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. There you go. But all right, guys.
In the words of Retta, treat yourself.
Next episode, we are going to tell you about the Grit City Comic Show, which was also a good time. And we also bought stuff. And
we also found something in the bathroom at Panda Express. We'll tell you all about that.
We'll tell you about that. The Panda Express story. All right, guys. Thank you guys for listening. We've been the Steve and Crypto Show. And see you on 133.
Happy holidays. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll catch you soon. Peace.